It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Pluto may have been downsized to a dwarf planet, but at this moment, Pluto is big. This week, signals sent home from NASA's New Horizons probe have given scientists and the rest of us a whole new view of Pluto. And to put things in perspective, we've asked Jasper Halicus, Associate Professor of Physics and Astronomy at the University of Iowa, to talk with us about Pluto. Hello, Jasper.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thanks so much for having me on. It's a pleasure.
And of course, the New Horizons probe has been traveling for 9 years. So this is a project that is certainly not new, although it's getting a lot of attention right now. But back before this project was launched, can you tell us a little bit about what the goals were?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so first and foremost, of course, we're exploring a place that we've never been before, right? I mean, this is the last planet in the solar system that we have not been to and laid eyes on. So we're taking our knowledge of Pluto from a few fuzzy pixels in a telescope to this fully realized world with, you know, geology and dynamics and processes that we barely understand. So it's really a mission of discovery, I would say.
And since Pluto was downgraded to being a dwarf planet, why was it a priority for NASA to even go there?
Well, it's an unexplored frontier in our solar system. The Voyager spacecraft have been as far from the sun as New Horizons is now, but they didn't go by any planets outside of Neptune and Uranus. So it's really a new frontier. And in some sense, whether Pluto is a planet or a dwarf planet or a Kuiper belt object or whatever you want to call it is irrelevant. It's a new part of the solar system that we haven't seen before. So visiting it and trying to understand what we're seeing can only add to our understanding of the solar system.
Well, and you mentioned Voyager, and of course, since Voyager was launched, technology has taken so many steps forward in leaps and bounds. So, I mean, the kind of technology on the New Horizons probe gives us a lot more opportunities, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, all of the instrumentation on New Horizons has taken a leap forward since the days of Voyager. That being said, the kinds of observations that are being made are not that dissimilar from Voyager. We're taking pictures, we're taking measurements of emissions in various wavelengths, looking at the atmospheres. We're scooping up particles of the atmosphere in situ and measuring them. All the same kind of measurements that Voyager made, but as you said, a step forwards in technology and capability.
Well, and you didn't actually work on this probe, but you have been working on a similar instrument, MAVEN. Can you tell us about that project?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you said, I'm an interested spectator on New Horizons. I'm taking in these images for the first time with all the rest of the public and going wow at them. But I've had some experience in being part of other NASA missions. And you mentioned MAVEN, which is stands for Mars Atmosphere and Volatile Evolution. And the name says it all. We're trying to understand the current state of Mars's atmosphere, and we're trying to understand why it has so little atmosphere, despite the fact that we see abundant evidence that there may have been water on the surface at one time. So did all that atmosphere escape into space? We don't know yet. We're going to try and find out with MAVEN, but we have a very similar suite of instruments to what New Horizons has, and in some ways we have the same goals because, of course, Pluto's atmosphere is also escaping. It's a way different atmosphere. It's made of nitrogen and methane and all this crazy stuff, but it's also escaping into space, and it's also interacting with solar energy coming in. So in some ways, there's a lot of crossover between these two missions.
So what is your timeline with MAVEN?
Well, on MAVEN, we've been in orbit since October of last year or September of last year. Our instruments have been on since October of last year. So we're coming up on a year of prime mission, and we're actually going to be releasing a bunch of our first results. We submitted about 50 journal articles to Science and Geophysical Research Letters this week.
How exciting.
And once those go through the review process and get vetted by the community,
you'll come back and tell us all about them, right?
I hope so.
All right. That would be fantastic. So as we're seeing these high resolution images of Pluto, I can only imagine that this is 10 times more exciting for you than it is for the rest of us to watch how this project is working. And what kinds of things have scientists been looking for in these visuals?
Well, I mean, it's a whole new world, literally. We've only seen Pluto as a few tiny pixels before, this blurry image. So we really had no idea what it was going to look like when we got there. We didn't know if it would be a blurry planet shrouded in an atmosphere like Venus. We didn't know if it would just be kind of an icy ball of rock like one of these outer planet moons. But instead, what we're seeing is something that's fully realized world. I mean, it has all kinds of geology on the surface. There are mountains and canyons and tremendous features, giant mountains that may be made of water ice.
And the images of the mountains that we started seeing yesterday are really astounding. And those are mountains that are 11,000 feet high from the surface, of course, of Pluto. So, I mean, these are Rocky Mountain-sized mountains, right?
These are Rocky Mountain-sized mountains, and we don't even know what they're made of yet. The PI of the mission yesterday, Alan Stern, said definitively these mountains are made of water ice, but we don't actually know that yet. In the next year and a half, as New Horizons downlinks all of the data that it took during this few-hour flyby a couple days ago, then we'll find out whether that supposition is true. But we don't even know yet. We don't know what these things are made out of. We certainly don't know how they were formed. And we don't even understand why there are mountains. One might have thought before we got there that Pluto would look something like our moon. Look up at our moon, and there's geology there, but it's geology that's been formed by a bunch of rocks bashing into it. We don't see any of that on Pluto, which means that the surface has been reformed very recently in solar system times, and that's amazing.
Well, and speaking of moons, this mission has also been looking at the moons of Pluto. How many of them are there?
I've lost track, to be frank.
Okay, there are a lot. And so, you know, all of the images that are coming back of the moons really invite a lot more questions about Pluto.
Yeah, these pictures that we saw of Charon, the biggest moon of Pluto, are absolutely as spectacular as the ones of Pluto. I mean, it's got every bit as much geologic structure. It's not even all the same color. I mean, we don't understand how that happens.
Well, and then there's another moon that the images seem to be incredibly fuzzy, and theories are that is perhaps it's just made of ice. Is that...
Yeah, so I think you're speaking of Hydra,
right,
wonderfully
yes.
named little moon, much, much smaller than Charon, thus the tiny little pixelated images that we've seen.
And potato-shaped is how people are describing it.
Potato-shaped eggplant, pick your favorite vegetable. But yeah, it's a blurry little thing, but it's really bright. When we see the sunlight reflected off of it, we see so much sunlight coming off of it that the supposition is it might be made mostly of water ice. Little chunk of ice floating around there.
So these images are giving us an opportunity to ask many more questions than we've ever even thought to ask about Pluto. Do you think that we'll get an opportunity with all of this information coming back over the next 16 months from New Horizons? Do you think that we'll get to answer all of those questions?
Probably not. I think we'll probably come up with as many questions as we answer, but they'll be much more well-informed questions than we started with. It's absolutely the case that we will learn a tremendous amount from this mission. There will be things that we don't understand even by the end of it, though. There always are. We never understand everything in science, which is good because it put us out of a job.
Now, there has been one question that has been debated for many, many, many years that has been answered about the Kuiper Belt. Pluto is now definitively the largest object in the Kuiper Belt. Is that what I've learned from looking through different articles, that there was another object, Eris? And people thought perhaps there's been a debate about which one is bigger, but now we know that Pluto is the largest.
Yeah, so we've nailed down how big Pluto actually is. Looking remotely from the Earth, it was hard to tell because you can't tell what's atmosphere and what's planet from a long distance away. But now we can, so we know how big Pluto is, and we know how it compares to the other objects that we've seen in the Kuiper Belt. Now, it's possible that there are objects that we haven't seen in the Kuiper Belt. We may not have seen everything. So I don't know that we can absolutely definitively close the book on what's biggest. In some sense, it's a moot point, right? I mean, all these rocks floating around out there are part of a family.
Well, one of the interesting things that we have already learned as well was that the New Horizons probe was taking samples as it approached Pluto and was getting readings from the atmosphere of Pluto well before we expected. Was it nitrogen that they were detecting days before expected?
Yeah. So one thing that we thought going to Pluto was that because it's so far from the sun, right now it's a little over 30 times as far from the sun as we are, which means that it receives 1,000 times less solar energy. So we thought it might be so cold that all the atmosphere may have just essentially frozen out on the surface. So seeing that it has a well-formed atmosphere is an important piece of evidence to understanding how this planet actually works.
Now, people are just in love with Pluto this week, and a lot of people were very sad when Pluto was downgraded from being a planet to a dwarf planet. Does this reignite that debate?
It may reignite the debate in the public. I don't think that there's a groundswell in the scientific community to go back and revisit this, although the members of the New Horizons team would love to call it a planet. For me, it really doesn't matter. It's a really interesting object in our solar system. It's part of the family of things in our solar system, and learning about it allows us to understand how our solar system formed.
So, well, and the fact that there's a region that looks like a heart, I think people have fallen head over heels for Pluto this week. So many different memes going around on the internet, and it's just adorable.
Although I understand that the heart is broken. It's not all one piece. Which is kind of sad.
Yeah, that's even more adorable. So with New Horizons doing this flyby, where does the probe go next?
Well, that's actually not completely settled. In the coming weeks and months, they're going to be looking at the possible targets for future exploration. What they'd like to do, of course, is fly by another Kuiper Belt object further out from Pluto. But that target hasn't been finalized yet. And you know, maybe it will depend somewhat on the results that they downlink from Pluto over the coming months. Maybe there'll be something in there that points them one way or the other. Or maybe they'll just flip a coin.
Well, and how much control do they have at this point about trajectory for a probe that's that far away?
They can do a fair amount, actually. They have enough reserve fuel on board that they could change course, you know, not all the way across the solar system, but they could tack left or right and head for something interesting out there. They've got lots of energy. You know, they went by Pluto going 30,000 miles an hour or so. Poor Pluto, it hasn't seen anybody in so long, and now its friend just zips right by without even saying hello. But they've got a little momentum, and they can keep that going and steer to some degree.
Well, and of course, Voyager has been delivering information to Earth for far longer than anyone had hoped, and we've seen, you know, the Mars rovers also just giving so much more than was expected with the initial mission. So how long can a probe like New Horizons, it's already been traveling for 9 years, how long can it keep traveling and delivering information back to Earth?
As far as I know, everything on the spacecraft, including the main, you know, propulsion and communication and the scientific instruments, is completely healthy. So there's nothing that we know of at this point that would prevent it from going on for years and years and years and years. Don't know about the 30 years that Voyager has been out there, but maybe. You know, when we build these things, we test them so rigorously that once we get them up there, they often will operate for a long, long time, even longer than designed.
So in advance of publishing all of that material that you've gathered about Mars, can you tell us a little bit about what you've learned from Mars on the MAVEN project and give us a little bit of a preview of some of the things that will be coming out?
Absolutely, yeah. So MAVEN is a unique NASA mission in that we don't have a lot of cameras. So we're not going to be coming back with the kind of tremendous images that we're seeing from New Horizons. But we've kind of seen those images from the rovers and from other orbiters. What we're going to be coming back with is a picture of the atmosphere of Mars. And it's a fascinating picture because what we're finding is that the atmosphere is highly dynamic and variable. We kind of had this picture going in of a smooth atmosphere that kind of varied in response to solar energy and changed a little bit over season and so forth. But what we're seeing is that it's tremendously variable. Every orbit that we pass through the atmosphere looks a little bit different. Even on a given orbit, the atmosphere is pulsing and waving and moving around. So we're seeing tremendous variability. And understanding what the implications of that are for how the atmosphere of Mars escapes out into space or condenses down into the surface is going to be really fascinating to unfold. And it's going to be really fascinating to compare that to Pluto, which is, you know, 30-odd times farther out, has a very different chemistry in the atmosphere, but is still subject to the same processes.
And you said that MAVEN is in orbit around Mars. Is that where it will remain? Or again, is there a possibility of sending it somewhere else?
MAVEN doesn't have enough fuel on board to leave Mars and go somewhere else, but we do have enough fuel to stay at Mars for around 10 years or so if the spacecraft and all of its systems remain healthy. So we hope that we will get the chance to continue having extended missions and continue operating. We are guaranteed now 1 year of extended mission past our prime mission, which starts this November and then goes for another year. And beyond that, we'll have to convince the powers that be at NASA that we should continue operating. But we hope that if everything is healthy and we're still returning good science, that that'll be an easy case to make.
Now, of course, NASA funding is always one of those things that is in question. So, but these are very long-term plans that are coming to fruition now. Do you have knowledge of other projects? I mean, you talked about Pluto being kind of the last place in the solar system for us to visit, although there's still so much that we don't know. What are some of the projects on the horizon?
Well, one of the big things that's coming up, I think, that's just getting started is Europa. So Europa is this fascinating moon of Jupiter that we think has an ocean buried under its ice. Plans are underway now to start doing the design work for a mission to go to Europa. So that's one target that I think will be very fascinating in another 10 years or so, however long it takes us to build the thing and get there. Looking further out, personally, I would love to see us return to Neptune and Uranus. You know, we've had just a single flyby, essentially, from the Voyager spacecraft. We've barely scratched the surface of what these giant worlds have to tell us. So that's where I'd like to go if I had my choice.
And are you writing grant proposals right now, or are you too busy on Mars?
Always.
Well, thank you so much for being here today and helping us put some of the information that we've been gathering in perspective. And so we've seen these amazing images. Will we continue to see images coming back in the next few days and weeks, or will this mostly be data that's transmitted over the next months?
You'll continue to see lots and lots of images.
Okay,
I mean, they've filled out a tiny bit of the surface at their highest resolution. So you'll see that surface of Pluto and of Charon as well get filled out at the highest resolution. You'll also see other forms of data coming back, in situ measurements of the atmosphere and its escaping constituents, spectroscopic measurements of the different gases in the atmosphere, the composition and the temperature and so forth. So you'll see a variety of other interesting data sets as well.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Jasper Halicus is Associate Professor of Physics and Astronomy at the University of Iowa, and we have a lot to look forward to from Pluto and other parts of our solar system. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese, Claire Roth, Emily Woodbury, and Lindsay Moon. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. You can email us anytime. We'd love to hear from you. Talk of Iowa at iowapublicradio.org. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa.